a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's Unrivaled. ASA. Ask Scott Anything. Insider questions, candid answers, nothing's off limits. Just don't make it awkward. It's Ask Scott Anything.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. We're asking him anything here. You can even send a text in, 57500. You can participate by asking Scott Anything. Ask a former NFL quarterback any darn thing that you want. Not just about the NFL. Ask him anything you want. This is a well-traveled man, all right? Well-rounded as well. Just has a lot going on. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
just,
I'm trying to be less rounded.
You can do that's why we're watching our figures here. You don't want to be as rounded. One of the things that, before we get into asking, well, I mean, this is part of it too. Were you, as a collegiate athlete, were you like, because I know you're married early at a young age,
right,
too. So, like, you're in college, you're married,
right,
on top of being a collegiate athlete. And so what would have changed? What would you have wanted changed for your experience at the University of Utah in terms of, like, I don't feel like I'm getting a fair shake here because of, you know, you guys had full scholarships, obviously. But what would you have changed for you personally that would have made it like, hey, this is actually, like, hard right now, and it shouldn't be this hard as a college athlete.
Well, you couldn't work when you were enrolled in school.
Like, it was so your ability to have,
it was against the rules.
Right.
I still think it's against the rules.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. And so you get a little bit of money every month, and you're like all these other students who are full time students. They have the ability to go work while,
right,
they're in school. And then you have, at the time, BYU was on the semester system. Utah was on the quarter system.
Yeah.
So we would get out of school in, like, the end of May, where at BYU they're out in, like, April.
Yeah, still, right? The case, yeah.
And then they go back a lot later. We didn't go back. Well, I think they were at the end of August or somewhere. They went back to school.
So you're saying, like, you didn't really have a summer to.
I had maybe a couple of months to make any kind of money. And I would work any break. So Christmas break, spring break, all of that. I found ways to work and to make money.
Did you ever have anybody approach you like, hey, you're Utah's quarterback. I'll give you a cool job. I'll give you a great job.
Well, I had a good.
That overpaid you or something?
I had a good summer job. I worked hard for it.
What's that laugh? What's that? You couldn't even get that out.
The jobs were kind of they were a joke for what we got paid. And most of us, there weren't.
What did you do?
I had a good summer job.
What'd you do?
I was a sports camp director at the sports mall.
Oh, the one down at
and that's 9th East and
down
there.
Yeah, I got you.
Fun place.
Yeah.
Tom Buxton was an amazing guy. Like, he was a great.
What would you get paid back then?
$20 an hour.
That's a lot back
in 1980.
Yeah, because I was in college. I had, like, a regular job. And I was getting.
Well, my job was. I mean, I was a 9 to 5.
You were
guy,
a sports director. You were there. What were you? That's my. That's my
director.
Title now. But
I was
the
camp director.
Okay.
So we would go on the indoor tennis courts, and I'd get the ball feeding machine.
Yeah.
and we played home run derby. That was at the end of the day. Okay. That was like the treat. But I taught these kids how to play
basketball.
But
again, you couldn't do that during the regular season. So for me,
it was an awesome summer job.
I wasn't a collegiate athlete, but when I did my internships that were free, by the way, like not paid internships, right, yeah, which is a racket. That's a giant joke, right? Yeah. So I'd do the free internship. And I did a couple of them. Did one up in Seattle. Did one, where my parents are from. I did one over the summer in Seattle at KJR. And then I come down here and I do another one at a sports station here in town. And that's all while I'm holding down a job.
Right, yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, because I was getting like $16.50 or $17 an hour at my job. And that was like really, really high paying for Provo.
During the school year?
And that was the other thing is that you're doing the school. So I had a full... And I was working for BYU too. It wasn't just like,
You can make it work though.
We made it work. Of course you did. And you know what I did? I left school with no debt, right. And part of that is because I was on half scholarship, thanks to mom and dad.
The money was the hard thing, Alex. That was a hard thing.
Like getting by. When you see players who go, we go to bed sometimes with not enough to eat, and I'd roll my eyes and go, yeah, right. You guys get. Pool tables in your locker rooms.
We didn't have any of that. We didn't have a training table.
Right.
We had it during the season, and we got dinner.
That's insane.
That was it. That's all we got.
And
now they have a facility, and they have breakfast and lunch. And
right.
All
so here's what they say. Here's what they say in the NCAA. Here's what Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, said too. He said that Supreme Court opinion provided. It provided a narrow opinion that left intact the rulemaking authority of the NCAA schools to differentiate between benefits that turn college athletes into professionals. So getting benefits of, hey, I actually want to go pro in this sport, so I want to be able to get those benefits that way, and between benefits that turn college athletes into a professional and something else, so appropriate for supporting students in their education.
Well, that's
so
broad.
They said this is a critical point in the decision. And they say that they have to figure out. I mean, it's not a play. Having just a straight up play for pay, or pay for play, is a tough deal. And you can't to just pay them for that is one thing. The real problem is, and again, now I'm blurring the lines a little bit with the name, image, likeness thing. But I've told you this before. You go into any of these bookstores across the country, you look at who the starting quarterback is for that school. That will be the number, or the running back that is the Doak Walker Award winner. That will be the number on the jersey that's sold in the bookstore, and it won't have their name on the back, but it'll say Nike on it, or it'll say Adidas on it, it'll say Under Armour on it, but it'll have that number of that person on that is that quarterback, that is that running back. We know exactly who that is, and the school and Nike are benefiting massively from that, and I guarantee Nike wants these kids to get paid. I guarantee. Look. We've heard of the people who have tried
Nike's
to pay them.
Nike's going to go and,
they're going to make deals with these guys anyway.
Absolutely.
And so
they probably, what they'll probably do is they'll make a deal, or they'll extend the deal, or as part of the deal for these schools, they'll include players. So they'll have a budget and they'll say, okay, we'll give players X number of dollars depending on whatever, who they are. I could totally see that. Is that the only question you were going to ask?
No, I've got one more to ask you just real quick before we go to break here. Next question here, because we're going to get into that quarterback topic coming up, so we'll be kind of doing both. But real quick here, though, Scott. Derek Carr says he would quit football if he's not playing for the Raiders.
That's just a
what?
Puffing his chest.
He's just bloviating?
If he was let go by the Raiders, he'd change his tune.
I understand
the whole thing of, I'm here, I'm invested, I'm committed.
I'm loyal, coach.
I got all this. That stuff means nothing. Because as soon as their value is gone, they're going to be gone. And these athletes are super competitive. Even Derek Carr. And he's going to go, they jilted me, they did this, they did whatever. And he's going to go on to the next thing. And he might go on to the next thing and go, it's a whole lot better than being with the Raiders. Or it may be worse. I don't know, but he's not going to just quit football. The guys just don't. For the most part, quit. There's some guys that quit, but most of them don't.
All right, let's take the break here. We'll come back. We've got our MVPs next. In the next hour, we're going to talk a little bit about the quarterbacks at BYU, And these interesting quarterback schools that have popped up, the quarterback whisperers, the guys that do so much work to get guys like Zach Wilson to the Jets as the number two pick, like John Beck did. We'll come back and talk about that much more. The MVPs are right around the corner. Stay with us.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.